You are listening to the OneOfUs.net podcast network. This film's called Morgan, but I gotta admit, I was kind of expecting Morgan this. Sorry, I'm gonna start with a pun.
Yeah. Chris, I don't understand puns. I'm not good with puns.
I see.
Or metaphor.
You're walking along the road, and you see a Chris who's flipped over on his back, and he can't get up. What do you do?
I stab him in the eye repeatedly.
Boom, next snap.
Was that an error?
The Herman Kampf test.
Mm-hmm. Yes, yes.
Which is strangely appropriate to this film, Morgan, which is a new... It's described as a science fiction thriller, except I think it forgot the science and the thriller
part. Yeah, I was going to say, it forgot the thriller part, certainly. Yeah.
Directed by one of Ridley Scott's three directing sons, Luke Scott.
Oh.
His debut, he's worked as second AD on two of his father's films before.
Mm-hmm. Were they one of the good ones?
One of them was The Martian.
All right, yeah.
The other was Exodus. Gods and Kings. Not so great.
Still haven't seen that.
It's not so great.
No, it's not.
Yeah. And this is definitely a film by somebody trying to impress Daddy.
Dad, do you love me? I made a prequel to Blade Runner.
I'm laughing to myself because, like, for every review, just kind of a little inside baseball, you always have, like, the Wikipedia page pulled up. And it's a plugin that's, like, broken down by premise for films, or, like, by theme for films. And so, like, every film goes by section, and there's, in big words, there's premise, and I'm just laughing to myself and laughing to myself, because there's not much of one.
There's not much of a premise at all here. But such as there is we're following Kate Mara, who shows up as a, what do they call her job in here? I can't remember.
Risk analyst?
Yeah, risk analyst. Something, but they also set up like, okay, she's a corporate risk analyst, but she's also kind of a security person.
They call her, like they say, they kind of nickname her the assassin in the movie. I mean, that's what her whole job is. I mean,
well, so basically, because the film opens up on a scene in which you see somebody talking to Morgan, and Morgan is apparently some kind of being. She's human.
She's an organic machine.
Like a teenager girl.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, that too.
and freaks out and stabs the person in the eye, and so when that happens in the corporate world, you basically have to send somebody down.
Risk assessment.
Establish
and
what's
going on.
And the
thing is that Morgan is indeed a creation. She's a, as explained a little bit later, she's a replicant, essentially.
Yeah.
She's a completely artificial human being where they have managed to create artificial synthetic DNA and are building humans from the ground up.
Which, as we know, that always works out well, by the way.
We've never done it.
Yeah.
It might work out perfectly,
well, in the
Chris.
Movies. I don't want to risk that. I like my eyes, Chris.
I'm all for it myself. Like, I've always had this thing about science fear and horror and stuff. You're always like, guys, seriously? Like, you call yourself science fiction, but I'm always like, you're kind of anti-science.
Yeah.
Like, all these movies, like, oh, we never should have
the
God's
danger
realm.
Of,
you know, like,
I still
job.
Maintain, how do we know that this hasn't been done?
We don't?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Because that's the whole idea, is to, like, make these things and have them be so human.
I'm going to place bets none of us are one of them.
Yeah.
Wish I was.
Yeah, I'm constantly too worried about the double digits in my checking account to be able to.
Exactly. But, so this thing that they've created, which they've named Morgan, who indeed is 5 years old, but looks like she's 16.
Yeah, she's
so.
A teenager.
Yeah. They're sending Kate Mara out there to analyze whether or not they should terminate the program, whether what the risks are of keeping this thing going. It's never entirely clear what their goals are. You get the feeling they're like, oh, we wanted to make one that had a richer emotional response. And it's not very far in the movie before they make clear this isn't the first one of these things we've made.
Oh, that too.
It's just the first one we've made that was designed to pass for human, and it's not doing a very good job.
Which I want to say, even physically, it's like, there's something wrong with that girl when I look at her. You are so pale and you got veins everywhere.
Yeah,
it's
right.
Like,
all the hair is gray and really veiny, and you're like, yeah, I'm not really sure. You messed up somewhere along the line there.
And that's
part. It's like, do they not watch Species?
Yeah, seriously.
That's part of my problem with just Morgan as a character, where they never get you to sympathize with her.
Yeah, they
even
try.
From the beginning, but they fail spectacularly.
They think they're doing it. That's the problem.
Yes.
They really think they're doing it. By the way, she was the leading performance in The Witch,
mm-hmm.
Who was great in that.
Yeah, no, she
but
was.
The problem is she's just not given much to work with here, as they try and give a, we see films of her as a little girl where she's just acting like a normal little girl.
Exactly.
But I'm like, where was the translation point where she became this completely all too human little girl to this person who acts like a cold robot all the time?
Yeah, well, because every attempt to try to elicit emotion or feelings out of her is basically the equivalent of poking her with a stick.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Just to see what happens.
Again, it was an error.
But there's a whole group of scientists who are there around her, including Toby Jones, who's like one of the two main people in charge of the project.
Mm-hmm.
Michelle Yao, always nice to see her, as sort of like the mother of the project, mm-hmm, if you will. Mm-hmm. And you got Rose Leslie from Game of Thrones, who's the one who's like, you know, the really human one, who's like the behavioralist who's been taking her out on walks in the forest.
Like special interest in Morgan.
Yeah, exactly.
For layman's is the hippie of the group.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Jennifer Jason Leigh, who's barely in this fucking thing because she's the one who gets stabbed in the eye.
Oh, yeah.
I'm still alive, but basically on the painkillers.
That's
the
like...
two times we see her going, what's happening?
Yeah. Like, congratulations for your Oscar nomination. Be in 3 minutes of this movie.
Oh, no.
And there's a couple others who I didn't even recognize, but...
there are a lot of character actors.
Paul Giamatti comes in at, like, the turning point of the film, which you know going into this is going to happen because they're like, okay, sooner or later, we know Morgan got to get out and chaos is going to erupt, mm-hmm, and yada, mm-hmm, yada.
Like any
Paul Giamatti
movie.
Is like the worst guy at his job in the universe. He's like, comes in and he's like, oh, I'm the analyst. I'm going to get in there. No, I can't be behind glass. I got to go in there.
I got to go in with the subject.
Yeah. And then goes in there and does everything but start poking her with needles. You know, like, does that hurt?
I mean, part of his job, to be fair, was to elicit a reaction from her. But I think he misjudged what kind of reaction that might be.
Well, I mean, considering...
not to tiptoeing around spoilers, but...
Considering that we saw already what happened with, like, barely any impetus to do it, you're like, maybe strap her to a chair or something?
Yeah. It takes the tension out of the scene.
Yeah,
it does. Because you inevitably know what's going to happen, even though Paul Giamatti is acting his ass off in that
you
scene.
You were doing Paul Giamatti saying that.
Well, we all have that kind of New York accent that comes out eventually. But, I mean, that's the thing where even though Paul Giamatti's doing a great job and the actress who's playing Morgan, she's doing a good job. Like, everything is just – all that tension is taken out of the scene because of what we previously saw.
Yeah. And we know how incredibly stupid this is.
Yes, exactly. And you just go, it's like a Prometheus decision.
Yeah,
it's like,
yeah, it really is. Well, you know, once again.
Of course.
But the thing like is, like this son. Whole movie is a thinly veiled attempt to make, for all extents and purposes, a Blade Runner prequel, like way early like days of like the beginnings of the replicants. I mean, it's not flat out that, but it's so close as to make little or no difference in their intent. And yet it has none of the really smart philosophies and understanding of what it means to be human stuff.
Mm-hmm.
It toys with it.
Yeah.
But it never really doubles down. Even its science, it kind of goes, it'll show you something. Oh, well, what's that? And they're kind of like...
Nanomachines. Yeah. Nanomachines.
I mean, there's all these elements. Like, there's this thing they do where... like right before she freaks out, she turns her palms upwards, right? And that even ties in towards the end of the film. It's like a stinger. And you're like... Mm-hmm. So what the fuck does that even mean? Mm-hmm. And what does that have to do with anything?
She's coming into her own.
There's a weird thing that comes in for the purposes of storytelling twice, and that she can turn lights on and off with her mind. And that only seems to be the purpose of her escaping the one time she escapes.
Yeah, but I don't even know if that was what happened there, though, there's a thing like, well, like, she's got stereo control. They set up, like, her little thing they've got her in. They're like, oh, we let her have access to her environmental stuff.
Yeah, so they don't explain why. They sort of write it off as a side effect.
The weirdest part is that they at one point go, well, we discovered she has precognitive abilities, and nothing else is ever made of that whatsoever.
Yeah, it's like, that's kind of dangerous, don't you think?
You know, they do a thing where she, every time somebody new shows up, she knows everything about them and everything.
Yeah, it's like,
and you're just like, okay, which is never relevant in any way
also
into either the action or the plot.
Again, Yeah. You don't sympathize her because she's acting that way.
Yeah,
because she's so creepy.
Why does she have those powers? What does that have to do with anything? How is mm-hmm. that related to the bigger picture, what little tiny pieces they give of to us at the end?
And
it felt like a leftover story element from a previous draft.
And yeah, I mean, it's sloppily done. Like, even if, okay, she has these abilities, and wouldn't she know, like, what all these people are thinking and what they're thinking of her? It's like she kind of goes along with this, like, oh, no, this is my family. But if she has these precognitive abilities, she'd be able to know, like, no, it's not.
Yeah.
You know, it's like, all right. So what's the point?
That right there, I mean, just the plot in and of itself is one of the biggest problems.
Kind of falls into itself.
It's so sloppy. It's astonishingly sloppy. I will give the cinematographer some points. There's some beautiful shooting in here, but most of that is really, you're shooting in the Pacific Northwest. It's gorgeous.
Yeah. it's hard to mess that up.
Hard to mess that up.
Although I will say, I thought the fight scenes in this, particularly the fight scenes between Kate Mara and Morgan, were hot.
Sorry.
were very sloppy. It kind of felt like the first Bourne movie to me, where it's clear they have two people who don't know how to fight.
It's the Jason Bourne school want, of video editing.
Yes. Yeah. And to hide it, they probably have stunt doubles and they want to hide the faces.
And that's one of my biggest problems with this film is they introduce Kate Mara and the whole time intimating that, yeah, she's kind of a badass when it comes down to it. But literally, like, every time she gets in a fight, she just gets the floor cleaned up with her immediately. Mm-hmm. And you're just like, especially with stuff that comes out later on, you're like, there's absolutely no reason that these fights should have been even a threat to her at all.
Yeah.
You're like, it doesn't make sense, along with so many things in this movie that just don't make any sense
when
you look at it even a little bit.
In regards to the fighting, they give like an kind of off-the-hand kind of line, towards the end about her character and why she was losing the fights to Morgan. I mean, I don't want to spoil spoilers. It's like a kind of like an off-the-hand remark type of thing. I don't want to go into spoilers about it.
I didn't catch that either.
Yeah. It was sloppy, so it doesn't really matter.
Because here's one of the biggest problems in it. It's a science fiction movie clocking in at 87 minutes. I can't think of...
Because
there's so many elements to science fiction. I can't think of a lot of them that are less than 90 minutes, but I'm pretty sure none of them are good.
Yeah, not many. I mean, like, if... It wanted to sell itself as a sci-fi horror, and it's not at all. Don't think for a second that this is, because it's not.
Mm-hmm.
It's trying to be, like I say, it wants to be a sci-fi thriller, but there's just not enough science, and there's not much actual thrilling going on. Everything that happens in this film is so telegraphed ahead of time. There just aren't any surprises at all, which a science fiction part of it should at the very least have some surprises coming, but... I maybe if you've never seen many movies, you could come into this and go, "Well, I totally didn't see those things coming." The twist
Blade
towards
Runner.
The end, but you know, for anyone who's seen a decent amount of film, you're going to be like, "Yawn,"
yeah,
like I'm going to sing my yawn. That's how yawny it is. Mm-hmm. Even Toby Jones can't do much to save this, who really looks like he was doing this in his spare time off a different film and just came in to be Toby Jones-ish.
Well, that's the thing. Like, they have all these amazing actors in it, but they're given so little screen time. It, to me, it felt like Ridley Scott called in the favor. It's like, hey, guys, my son's got this movie. Come, can you all be in it? Like, Michelle Yeoh doesn't show up until, 30 minutes in. It's like, wow, Michelle Yeoh's in this.
Even longer than that.
When
Paul Giamatti's scene starts and he's walking down that hall with Toby Jones, I was like, yes. I didn't know that I've wanted this for years, but, this is good. This is epic. This is going to be an awesome scene. And then it's just kind of
like... Yeah, and then it's like, okay, and that's the whole thing. That scene is the most just on the nose.
Yeah.
By the way, this is... same universe possibly as Blade Runner, because that's the Voight Kampff test he's giving her, even down to the whole she doesn't really understand metaphor, she has trouble with hypothetical situations,
sarcasm,
and I'm just like, okay, that's the Voight Kampff test. And I honestly am kind of, by this point in the film, just resentful that this stuff is even happening. I was like, don't connect this shit to your dad's much better movie, you fucking bastard.
Exactly.
I don't know if he's actually a bastard.
No. I don't think so.
I don't think
Let's
so.
Let's not make that insinuation that he is.
I have no idea. Yeah. Maybe his dad
the same last name.
For a while.
He's just not a very good filmmaker.
No, technically not. Well, I mean, like I said, he might have disowned him for a while.
Oh, no.
I don't know. I said, now you can have this one. He's going to be a terrible filmmaker. go into final thoughts, Chris Herman, because I don't know how much more we can bitch about this without giving away for whatever what it's worth. It's spoilers.
It's just a completely uninteresting movie. I mean, we've seen this plot so many times. We've seen it done better. Again, so much of this talent is just wasted. Like, I love seeing Paul Giamatti and Toby Jones and things, but here it's just like, even the scenes they're in, it's just like, okay, that was, yeah, well, thanks, appreciate that. And then even, like, Kate Mara, I'm sorry, but I'm just, I think she's such an overrated actress where she's playing the same type of character over and over and over again. I'm just like, oh, here we go. She's playing the cold, you know, distant types. Like, I have nothing to do with emotions. I'm just here to do my job. It's like, okay, so every other character you play in every movie. And like I said, like, the fighting's just so sloppy. And like, really, I'm trying to think of, like, is there a positive about this? I guess, yeah, it's the cinematography where they're showing the Pacific Northwest. Yeah,
pretty out there.
Yeah. I put that on my photo loop on my computer.
If you really enjoy watching Paul Giamatti be it as Paul Giamatti-est, there's 5 minutes of it in here, which make no sense in the context of the film, why anyone would behave that way. But it's always fun watching Paul chew the scenery.
Exactly. Yeah, I would, if anything, just to watch that scene on YouTube when eventually it's posted. But other than that, yeah, I'd probably just give this, 3 out of 10 neck snaps.
Yeah. JC? Opposite of Herman, I mean, I do like Kate Mara, and I do get that she kind of does the same thing, but maybe it's her lack of emotion sort of makes me like her. I don't know. She elevates the movie for me a tad bit, just a tad bit. As far as, like, any positives to the movie that Herman was looking for, it's far from the worst thing you'll see. It's probably be the most forgettable thing. Like, I'm used to seeing something this forgettable in January or February.
Yeah, it feels totally like a January, February. Yeah.
Well, it's the end of August.
And you get the feeling, maybe it was held back because the filmmakers saw Ex Machina last year and were like, fuck, now I gotta push this thing back.
Which is a significantly better film.
Yes, absolutely.
Yeah, this is sort of a weird mashup between Species and Ex Machina, which is a weird two movies to mash up together, but that's kind of what this is. It's not worth spending a whole bunch of time on. Okay, it won't be the worst thing you see this year if you need less than 90 minutes to fill. Mm-hmm. And you sort of like this science fiction, sentient human-ish type thing. I mean, you could do far worse, I guess. But I would give it.
Yeah, I'm sure there's a lot of Asylum movies out there.
4 out of 10 loving hugs from Morgan.
I think the biggest problem with this film is just it's so fucking boring.
Yeah.
I mean, nothing even happens, like, in terms of, like, oh, it's going to get action's finally going to start until the beginning of the third act, which is short, like, because it's a short movie. Mm-hmm. And then nothing that happens with that is all that interesting. You're kind of like waiting for, oh, she got out, so now she's going to be this, like, she's going to be hiding in the rafters and she'll come down and be like, rah, it'll be scary.
Yeah, like the aliens.
And you're like, something, right?
Yeah. A huge part of the lack of tension is it becomes apparent very early on that this is a cheaply made movie and there's really only 5 people in, so, like, what's the most she could do, really?
The middle of the Pacific Northwest. Is she going to go grow weed out there? Yeah. And even, like, underwhelming performances from people we usually expect more from. Well, people who are great in this who are barely in this fucking thing at all. You're just like, yeah, you just phoned this in. This was a paycheck. You had to show up for one day of filming.
Yep.
And that was it. There's just so little to recommend this thing at all. I just thoroughly disliked it. I mean, it just shows such a lack of imagination on so many levels. And the lack of, like, who actually wrote this thing?
Was it
Seth Owen? I don't know who it is. But,
he doesn't even have a clickable name in Wikipedia.
No, I know.
It's Ridley Scott's son's best friend.
It's got so many errors, just basic writing 101 errors throughout this thing. Errors.
Well, that's makes sense, Chris, because as Morgan always says, that was an error. I won't do it again.
This movie was an error.
Yeah.
I give it 2 out of 10 Tears in the Rain.
Oh, it's the Blade Runner reference. You know what? I just realized, you know what this movie is? This is a total ripoff of The Hills Have Eyes 3. Which is...
Someone saw The Hills Have Eyes.
Here's the thing. It has nothing to do with those, like, I'm talking about the older movies from the 70s. I think it came out, like, in the late 80s or early 90s. But it starred Lance Henriksen, and it took place where he was this researcher in this facility who created an artificial human. It was all about these people who raised this in this case, it was a boy.
Wait, The Hills Have Eyes 3 was about that?
It was, It's like a complete spin-off of that, where it takes place in the same area of it, but it has like nothing to do with like the crazy cannibal people. But it's basically all these scientists in this underground facility, like in Nevada or something, who raise this this artificial human underground until he matures, and then he starts eating everyone's brains, and he breaks out, and he's free, but then he dies.
So this is a remake of Hills Have Eyes 3, is what you're saying?
Yeah, absolutely. But that movie is more entertaining, and they do more interesting things with the monster in it. So see The Hills Have Eyes 3, it's called something else, but that's just I remember, because it had like some type of connection to those movies. Yeah.
If that's a better ending than this, you could delete it. But the guy who wrote this, his name's Seth Owen on IMDb, he wrote a movie called Peepers, which the plot is described as a ragtag group led by the eagle-eyed Steve take to Montreal's chilly rooftops under cover of night. They're on the prowl for the perfect peep, desperate to glimpse a hottie hookup, a panty party, or a big booty buffet through unshuttered windows.
Are you fucking kidding me?
Wow.
Oh, my God. I don't know about that movie, which I will never watch, but I'm just going to refer to this as Morgan LaFail.